Welcome back to the Paul to Timothy Institute podcast. I'm Dr. Mike Oney. Today is a part two of How to Be a Paul to Your Timothys, and it's a specially focused podcast. I want to talk today to those of you who are called by God to be a leader of leaders. This is really a special podcast for those who are being called of God to be a Paul to your Timothys in a formal way, perhaps by launching a church-based training center. There's a great move of the Spirit of God today in our world, raising up leaders of leaders. If God is calling you to be a Paul to your Timothys, there are likely four things that are going on in your life right now. Number one, you deeply resonate with the passion of helping ministry leaders coming behind you to succeed. You find yourself looking behind you as much as you're focused on what you're doing right now in front of you. Secondarily, you likely have a number of leaders in your church as lay leaders or even those who are called to full-time vocational ministry asking you to mentor them. Thirdly, you have a deep awareness that the problem of ministry effectiveness is often not related to theology or even a minister's heart, but inadequate leadership preparation. And fourthly, it makes complete sense to you that you need to formalize your investment into your Timothys, and that could be in a church-based training center. Statistically, for the last number of decades, especially here in the West, the church has either been, almost all churches, most churches, either plateaued or declining. David Olson, in his classic book a few years ago, The American Church in Crisis, found this, a startling statistic. He said, there is not a single state in America in which church attendance has kept up with the growth of population in that state. That's phenomenal. Nobody is getting the job done anywhere in America. And the trend is very largely true still today. Have you experienced a shift? I bet you have. As a long-term ministry leader, and for me as a long-term pastor, when I started ministry, I found that my values after about 6 or 7, 8 years really began to shift in a considerable way. I moved from being deeply concerned about being an attractional church with large numbers to being a transformational church where lives were deeply changed. While I've always remained committed to church growth, still am, leading a disciple-making church became my passion. Leading a disciple-making church really does, and you know it well, don't you? It has to be our priority. One of the phenomenal things about the early church, and I'm talking about the church in the first 300 years, was that there was nothing secularly advantageous about being a believer. And yet that early church with virtually no church buildings, with virtually no evangelist, with minimized church programs promoted in a community or anything like we have today, that early church won 10% of the Roman Empire. Now, how in the world did they do that? They were so attractional, and not only attractional, transformational. When people looked at their lives, they were deeply impressed. Do you know why? It is because of Philippians 3, verse 8. That ethos that the Apostle Paul talked about in his life was imbued into the lives of those early church leaders and congregants. Paul said, everything he counts as loss compared to the greatness of knowing Christ my Lord. He said, I've counted everything as just absolute rubbish. That made them, the early church, first 300 years, that relationship with Christ, that intimacy with Him made them attractional. But beyond that, they had also formed abilities to make disciples. They were not only attractional, but transformational. So can I talk to us today, to you and I today, about being leaders of leaders? God is raising up leaders right now to form the core values of leaders in the church today. And without that, there will be a misapplied focus on being overly attractional, but not really transformational. Isn't it happening? We see it all around us. So you as a leader of leaders, you're responding to the voice of the Holy Spirit. There's something going on the inside of you that tells you that God has His hand on you and is raising you up to form the leaders around you, both in your church as lay leaders and even other ministers that God is bringing across your path. And you're getting requests from folks saying, hey, would you mentor me? Would you help me? Would you help me form core values in my life? Let me talk to you today. There are three really significant lessons that are essential that you and I, as a leader of leaders, embrace. The first one is this. As a leader of leaders, you'll have to equip your church's leaders and those that are coming to you for formation to be both attractional and transformational, just like the early church. It was a wonderful point of leadership study that showed us a few years ago that every church has five concentric circles of influence: the community, the crowd, the congregation, the committed, and the core. Community, where the church is, the crowd, these are people that show up regularly or not so regularly. The congregation, these are members. The committed, these are workers. And the core. The core are the folks that are partners with you in ministry. And there are two guiding principles that you'll have to teach ministry leaders around you. One is that they will have to know how to be attractional from the outside in and transformational from the inside out. Do you see how it works? The community, all the way to the focus of the core, and the core, all the way focusing into its impact on the community. Inside out and outside in. My personal failure as a ministry leader can be summarized like this. I was really focused on connecting with the community. That's a good thing. But what I failed to do was develop a core of ministry leaders around me that could help me with the transformational dynamic of the church. And so that hard lesson you can never neglect as you are raising up your leaders, the core leaders that are coming to you. Help them know the dynamics of being attractional and transformational. Secondarily, you as a leader of leaders, equip those that are coming behind you to understand and cope with two major obstacles of discipleship today. These are pronounced in the world, especially so in the West. The first is this. We live in a post-Christian world. The dominant message of a post-Christian world is this: you do you and I'll do me. There is a strong sense in a secular worldview that we face all around us today that people need, and this is what they would say, we need a freedom from the concept of the very idea that we need salvation. They would emphasize secularly, they don't need salvation, they need freedom. You do you, and I'll do me. The second thing that we face as a major obstacle in discipleship, not only are we facing a post-Christian world view, we are also facing a technology-driven culture that is telling people not only what to think, but how they should think. Did you know that the average person in the West, and this is largely true throughout the world, spends 2.5 hours a day on social media? A few years ago, 12th graders in school were looked at and they found that they were spending 4 hours a day. 4 hours a day of media influence telling them what to think and literally how to think. Compare that with a couple of hours of church every week. There is a pervasive media impact, social media impact, that is mitigating discipleship, and there is a conveyance of a secular worldview that is constantly barraging folks with the message, you do you and I'll do me. Let me summarize the two things we've talked about and then move to the application. As a leader of leaders, you'll have to equip your church's leaders to be both attractional and transformational, but you're going to also, secondly, have to equip your leaders to cope with the two major obstacles to discipleship today. One of those is a post-Christian worldview, and its message is you do you and I'll do me. And then secondarily, a technology-driven culture where the typical person is spending 2.5 hours on social media and younger folks in school much more than that. Let me move now into an application for you. As a leader of leaders, I really want you to take this to heart. You must know how essential you are in developing the core leaders that God is bringing into your pathway, whether they're in your church or even people that are called to vocational ministry. They're looking to you as a mentor, as a Paul, to serve their Timothy aspirations. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his book titled Revival, said this, "There's always a preliminary to revival. It appears to come suddenly, and in a sense it does, but if you look carefully into the history, you'll always find that there was something going on quietly. There was a preliminary, a preparation, unobserved by people." That's what God is doing in you as a Paul to serve your Timothys. There is something going on that is unobserved where you know instinctively this message that Paul gave to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, that you have to take what you have and entrust that to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. You know, the discipleship strength of any ministry is rooted to the faithful people who are empowered to teach others also. So what did Paul tell Timothy? Invest into the right core leaders. When the church has an integrity issue among its core leaders, let me tell you something, that church will have an inability to shape culture, and that is the most fundamental reason. A lack of integrity at the core leadership of the church in the world today. We have to develop leaders around us that are radically committed to Christ and capable of being influential for Christ. They have to be attractional and they have to be transformational. One of the things that we see today, especially in America, is when secular judges and different aspects of society are pointing out the ethical and moral blindness of church leadership. It's an indictment. Why? There has been an undermining of the integrity of the church's core, and God is raising up now Paul's two Timothys to restore the core of the church. I'd like to close with a very practical application. The First Great Awakening in America is a classic example of God raising up leaders of leaders in the church. Many folks don't know that the moral landscape of America following the Revolutionary War was absolutely pitiful. In the late 1700s, alcoholism and greed were running rampant in our nation. Theologically, heresies like universalism and deism were gaining popularity. The Methodist Church especially took a huge hit numerically in their membership. And then churches and pastors began to pray. They came together and they focused on the core of the church. Church discipline was thrown into high gear. Church minutes from that time period take a look at how they literally even excluded people from the membership of the Methodist Church. related to alcoholism and profanity and all kinds of other ethical and moral issues. And yet, by focusing on the core of the church found that it was renewed, it was restored, and it was phenomenal what had happened. In 1775, fewer than 1 out of 800 Americans was a Methodist. But did you know that by 1812, because of the Methodist Church in the First Great Awakening focusing on the core leadership formation of the church, they moved from 1 out of 800 Americans being a Methodist to 1 out of 36 Americans being a Methodist. That is probably the most influential awakening America has ever received. It happened because of four things that leaders of leaders did. Number one, they discerned who should be influencing. They were looking for people that had the ability to make disciples. Secondarily, they recruited those people to become ministry partners. Thirdly, they committed time to developing the core of the church. And fourthly, they empowered those people through their giftedness to serve. Can I tell you? That is exactly what God is calling you to do as a leader of leaders. Discern who should be influencing. Recruit them. Commit a great deal of your time into developing them. And fourthly, empower them to serve in an attractional way and in a transformational way. I'd like to encourage you, if God is calling you to be a Paul to your Timothys, we have an ebook at paultotimothy.com about starting a church-based training center. It may be that the Lord is asking you to become formal in the way that you are empowering and training the leaders that are coming behind you. Head over to paultotimothy.com and take a look at that resource. I think it will make a huge difference in your considerations of how to take the next step of being a Paul to your Timothys.